You know, it's been almost 2 years since that day. And so as we prepare for the message, let us come before Him seeking His guidance. And I'll tell you what that little statement means. Will you join with me, please? Father in heaven, thank you very much. Open our hearts and our minds, make our ears itch, that we may be filled with your Spirit, that this message that you wrote, I am allowed to preach, that it will pound upon us, it will move within us, it will take us from here and grow us forward, Father. Let us divide the word truthfully, correctly, with Jesus' precious name going before us, in whom we pray, amen. It's been almost 2 years coming up since that great day in my life happened. Since the day I heard these words. Hey, Paul, listen, this here is real hard for me, but hey, we're going to read you a letter. And as I sat in the basement of Winchester Hall in Frederick, Maryland, had no idea what was coming. Just the day before I had been hired, today I'm going to get fired. Two men sat across the table from me whom I had known for 15 hours and decided they would pass judgment on me. Now, I brought it on myself. I had spewed evil out the day before. I had talked about everybody and everything in the most condescending manner. And then I get to read a letter telling me that I was fired. I've never been fired in my life. And I've never talked about that day, but I think it's time. But what happened in that basement, in a room that had no windows, in a room where they shut the door, in a room where I had to walk down a hallway that everybody knew why I was walking down that hallway and had to walk back out. The first thing I did was shock. The next thing I did was I pushed the chair away and I fell down on my knees in front of two grown men and started crying on the floor in front of them. That's a fact. Don't fire me. You can't do this to me. What did I do wrong? You haven't given me a chance. You barely know me. And the two men sat looking at me and they said, doesn't matter, you're still fired. And I cried louder and I begged them on my knees. Make that picture in your head. I begged them on my knees. And I've never talked about this. I don't even think I ever told you. I begged them. Don't do this to me. For 20 minutes I begged, to the point where they told me that if I didn't soon stop, they were going to have me removed. And so I got up and left, and I had been fired. Now, I've told you the story of how and the what and everything, but I've left out some pretty important details along the way. And now that I feel a lot better about it, we're going to talk about that today. How I changed. How you change. How it is. Take a look at the sermon title, The Way You Are, But Better. Some things change, some things happen to me that show me from here on out, I am always going to be changed by God's love. I'll never be the same person I was yesterday. And I don't just mean yesterday in the sense of yesterday when I was young. I mean yesterday, physically Saturday. I'm not going to be the same person I was yesterday because by His love, I have been changed. Amen. But let's start with a little bit more of what Paul Harvey would have called the rest of the story. Now, we all know what happened. I got up out of there and I left and I called Wendy and things were spinning out of control. As a matter of fact, I was bound and determined, and I've said this, I was taking my life that day. By a voice, I went and started praying. Hit my knees hard. And I begged. And you all know the rest of the story. I wound up at church. And so today's service, I have borrowed from Leon Yoder. Because what he said started me listening to the Holy Spirit. See, Leon Yoder, pastor up at Greencastle Church of the Brethren, good friend of mine. Maybe some of you all know him. He used to be out at the Morgansville Mill. Leon's a great guy. Leon was filling in at Harmony that Sunday. And so I give him the credit for this, and I'm telling you right now, I will be sending a copy of this message to Leon to hear because he doesn't know to this day what he did that Sunday morning. Leon's message was, God loves you the way you are, but He's going to change you. And my message to you today is I'm going to credit this a little bit and change it that God loves you the way you are, but He will make you better if you let Him. The way you are, but better. Ain't that great? Ain't that something to think on? I heard that Sunday morning. That was my turning point. I've been in the water twice. One time when I was 14 years old, and it was the thing to do. The second time with Wendy when she went in. Twice in the water. It didn't catch. That Sunday it took. That Sunday I felt, I heard the presence of God right there with me. You'll never hear me make that statement too often, because I know the presence of the Holy Spirit is always there. That Sunday, God changed me. Loved me, hated my sins, changed me for the better, because I finally let Him. Because I finally took that moment. It took me getting fired to shake out and start paying attention to that statement. I've seen a couple things this past week which started making me think about how you make things better. I'm always fascinated by that program on television set, Home Improvement. You know, Tim Taylor, Tim the Tool Man. He's always bound and determined to make everything better, and he usually blows up everything he touches. I love that guy. I think I can make things better too. On occasion, it works. More often than not, I'm back to the shop, sometimes bleeding, sometimes with her voice ringing in my ears. But that day, I felt His presence. I knew that I stood at a point where I had no choice. Yes, we're given that choice. Choose heaven or choose hell. But that day, I knew I had no choice. I knew what lay for me outside that door. And I knew that if I didn't take a hold of it right then and there, I would never be changed. The rest of Leon's sermon flowed over me. And although to this day, I cannot tell you half the words of what he said. I just kept hearing these voices and talking to me. Paul, I'm right here. Paul, I want to change you. But something in that beginning statement, God loves you for who you are, but He will change you, branded me, burned into me for the rest of my life. Now I know the rest of His message backed it up to that day and finished it off. And now I can come to you and look at you and say, God loves you for who you are, but He will change you for the better when you let Him. Not if. I want to see when. I want to say that to you. That to me should be a bumper sticker, shouldn't it? Shouldn't somebody make a bumper sticker? I spend a lot of time on the road. And lately I see a lot of bumper stickers, you know. Some of my favorite ones are, peace begins in the kitchen. Really? And then you read the next bumper sticker to it is, love your animals, don't eat them. Won't say what I thought when I saw that. I saw a camper the other day that had a bumper sticker on the back end of it that if I ever find that thing, I'm going to buy a camper just to put it on. It said from one end of the bumper sticker went, it said, now this is a bumper sticker. That made me laugh for 2 days. A bumper sticker that big on the back of the vehicle should say, God loves you the way you are, but He will change you for the better when you let Him. That's what I think we should. I think that bumper sticker should. Does anybody know if that bumper sticker's made? Is it made?
I don't know, but if I find it, I'll put it on my camera.
You put it on your camera. There you go, Kathy. It's one of those sayings. You know how I'm so fond of saying we ought to write that one down. That would be our saying for the week. That's our saying for the week. For a while, from here on out. God loves you how you are. I think it would do good. It would serve us good if each week we started out by saying, God loves us for who we are. But He's going to change me for the better when I let Him. It's a very heavy weight and a very gravitational statement to make that. God loves me the way I am. How incredible is that? You ever thought about that for a minute? I mean, take a good hard look at yourself. We'll get to that in a minute, but God loves you right now the way you are. I want you to think about that in depth as we get ready to read our scripture. And I like to think about it in the terms that Paul uses. So get your Bibles out and head for 1 Thessalonians chapter 13, starting in the 4th verse. In the Pew Bibles, it'll be page 1787. And we're going to read a letter to the Corinthians that Paul wrote. And it has a reason behind it. And it was what?
Written
I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians. No, 1 Corinthians. I wrote down the wrong thing. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 13, excuse me. And this was tied in because of something that happened yesterday. We'll get to that. Paul writes these letters to the Corinthians. He writes these words, "Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put my childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Amen. That's a powerful, powerful passage. And it's used all over the place. This is the first time I've got a chance to look at it yet from another angle. I want us to know what love is through God. I am seeing the change of myself constantly. I think a great example of that, of the fact is what He has given us. People all the time are saying, "I will not change who I am and I will not change what I do." Really? You're not going to change anything? How many men have gotten married saying to the woman, "You ain't changing me, Toots"? I made that statement. I made it the first year of our marriage. "You're going to do this. You ain't changing me." "No, I do what I want, when I want, how I want, the way I want, and that's the end of it." Man, why am I so dumb? That's something I hear all the time. "That's the way I am and I will not change. You'll just have to get used to it. Sunday mornings is my morning." It's your morning. Gotcha. "This is the way I am. You can't change me. I can't be changed." I still say it. I still look at her now, 9, some 10 years later, look at her and go, "Hey, that's the way I am." And she just laughs because it has no teeth anymore. It has no strength. It's just me being a fool and blustering. But when we first started, it was a sore spot between us. But I changed. Wantingly. I changed. And as I wrote this, I thought, if you want to see a good example, then one need look at some of the couples in this church. Not the least of which was Marvin and Mita. But you didn't know this was coming, did you? See, everything I look at is a sermon to me, so now you're in. I had what I considered a great opportunity yesterday to help them celebrate 50 years of marriage. 50 years. And there's couples in this church that have been married longer. 50 years, 60 years. I looked at the pictures and heard people talk, and then Marvin got up and told me how he met Mita and how it all came to pass. And I started thinking, wow. Hey, boy, he knew what he wanted. Right then, right there, I'm going to get married. I found myself thinking, God is showing me something. Because Marvin went on to tell the rest of his story. He did what he wanted, when he wanted, the way he wanted, and didn't matter to anybody else. Wasn't nobody going to change him. Got that chest all puffed out like a banty rooster. That after all of it, that after talking that way, that after thinking that way, Mita went on in her own direction. She started reading. She started, if I remember the story correctly, she made Marvin go to James Robinson. And things started changing, whether he liked it or not. And then sometime later, Monita found her need. She found in herself want. She found in herself that desire. And she filled it. Took Marvin a little longer to get it, but then he did. Her conviction showed Marvin. God then in her led him to God, and then they changed every day forever and ever. Amen. God loves you the way you are, but He will make you better if you let Him. Now, I read the first part of this 1 Corinthians here. This is in the vow renewal service, and it's also something that I read when I do a young couple for their first time. Love is patient. Love is not kind. But oh, how true it is. God loves us just the way we are. He just plain out loves us. Can you wrap your head around that? Do you deserve it? Nope. Do you do anything? I think I deserve His love one time a day. One time. That's when I'm putting my shoes on in the morning. Because at that point, I've made no mistakes. I'm about to walk out the door and change all that. But for that brief 20 seconds, I'm good to go. I think for those 20 seconds, He just plain out loves us, and yet we as Christians cannot do the same for our neighbor sometimes. What is that all about? We can't show that same love to our neighbors sometimes because we're stubborn and we're not paying attention. We are quick to rush when we see something done wrong and pass judgment on people and forget it right there. And yes, we all do it. I don't care who you think you are. We all rush to pass judgment at least once in a while without knowing all the facts. And then you're done. Oh, I'm judge, jury, and executioner. I still do it. Me. Talking about me here for a minute. I fight doing it. But I'm still doing it. But yet, what does Paul say in that 12th verse? And this is scary. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, and then we shall see face to face. Someday, we're going to come face to face with ourselves. Someday, we're going to walk up to that throne, and the mirror is not going to be held up. Jesus is going to put us face to face. And I got to tell you, it's not going to be pretty at first. But because God loves us, because that simple statement, He loves us the way we are, when we accepted Him, we started to get better. We'll never be perfect. One day. But not here. But He'll make you better. That's the great thing. He hates the sin, but He loves us. And sadly, many who truly need it. And this is our job, brothers and sisters, to tap Him on His shoulder. Sadly, many who truly need it won't let Him love them. They will leave this earth without ever knowing that. Oh my golly! That kills me now. It's not a perfect way to be a Christian. It's not easy. And sometimes it's not fun. Because people want at you. But the end result is you're loved. Regardless. Unconditionally. You know, I was preparing that message and it occurred to me just what a broad statement God's love is. God loves us the way we are. Are you rolling that around a little bit? Are you starting to let that sink in? God loves us the way we are. That means everyone. How about thieves? Rapists? Murderers? Those who prey on the innocent? Those who would abuse the sick? And on down the line. The ugliest of the ugly, God still loves you. Still loves you. And with a simple moment, He'll wipe it away. He will make you better. If you're at that point, if you're doing that, and you can find it in your heart, He's waiting. How beautiful is that? I was reading a story about a guy here, I guess back in the 70s. He had done some killing and he was going to sit in the seat and it was going to be over. And people outside were trying to get him stayed from his execution. He said, no. He said, I'm all right with that. He said, I made my peace and I spoke to people in here and I realized that God loved me for what I've done. I'll never be able to change that back and people may never understand that. But I lived the rest of my days in this jail communicating that to everybody. And I took bruises on the chin and the head and the back for it. This is my reward now. This is to pay for what I've done. But I go there knowing that I'm a better person. It gave me chills to think about that. How God, with His infinite love, could change somebody like that. How God, with His infinite love, on that day as I cried in front of two grown men, me the drunk, me the drug taker, me the wife cheater, me everything you can think of bad, kneeling down, walked out of there and God said, huh? Listen. Listen to me. And He's doing it. God will make you better if you let Him. Max Lucado says, God loves you just the way you are, but He refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be like Jesus. Woohoo! Now there's the one. That's the whole part of being changed, is so that you can be more like Jesus. Push down the demons. Push down the hate. Push down everything. I think that's the whole thing right there. To be more like Jesus. That is the big change that God really wants to make with us. Unfortunately, He won't give me back the color in my hair. He won't take this away. That's my own doing. I'll work on that. But He will make us want to be more like Jesus. Make you want to. That's weird. Because once that love gets in you, you start looking at who He was and you want to try harder and harder to be like that so you can show those who are lost, here's the way. You're not always going to get it right, but you're going to want to try. I know that I must be constantly ready to change. I have to, as I have accepted Jesus and the love of God, through all this, be ready for whatever change His glory would represent in me at a moment's notice. Whether it's standing up here preaching at Longmeadow or the next day on a plane to who knows where. Maybe being a missionary. If that was His call, I have to be ready to accept that. Don't worry, I'm not leaving. I like the food up here. But that's it. And my biggest change of constant work is compassion. I didn't have it. I didn't know what it was. Man, that is tough. And I'm going to tell you right now, there is only one way that I can be a compassionate person, and that is through God's unfailing love. Let me make sure you understand, I am not a nice guy. Not for the most part. I'm mean, thoughtless, selfish, and I had to write this whole list down. And I know if I miss anything, she'll add to it. Very judgmental. Quite honestly, sometimes I can be downright hateful. That's me. That was me. That is still me. I'm surprised when I go into the water or to be baptized, have been, or when I go into the water to do the baptizing, I didn't become like that Randy Travis song. Y'all remember that one, Pray for the Fish? They have no idea what's coming into that water. The sin that's coming off of him is going to float them to the top. Y'all get that song sometime and listen to it. Pray for the Fish. I'm that bad. And I'm surprised that when I go in, but yet I have God's love. He said, you're listening. I'm going to change you for the better. I know who I am. And I have those moments even today when I can revert back just like that. And it doesn't take much sometimes. But for the better, God has brought change. And I publicly acknowledge that without Him, I would not be here today. More than likely, I probably would be dead. And that's not melodramatic. That's the truth. Without Him, I would not be standing here right now. And I'm telling you, without Him, not too many people in this room would ever like me. Changed me for the better. Changes you for the better. Loves you the way you are, but changes you for the better. And I'm quite serious. And one day when there was nothing left but the ultimate sacrifice, in Psalms 51, verse 16, you do not delight in sacrifice. David writes these words, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. I love you the way you are. I love you the way you are. I gave up, gave in. Now, I'm looking out here thinking that many of you all as well, my brothers and sisters, have had to cross that line one time. That broken moment where you had to step over the line, or not. But apparently you did because you're here. You had to cross that line. And so I wanted to talk about God's love today, because sometimes I think we get complacent. Sometimes I think we get so used to things moving along because we became Christians that we forget what God's love really truly is and what it meant to us. I want it well known that God loves you the way you are, but He will change you for the better if and when you let Him. When you let Him. If there is anger, let Him change it. If there is bitterness, let Him change it. If there is sorrow, let Him change it. If there is a lost feeling, let Him change it. If there is uncertainty, let Him change it. Because you can't. Amen? I see it from so many ways, the depth of God's love. But ultimately, His love was set to save us. It reminds me of a story of William Gladstone, who was the Prime Minister of England from 56 or 66 until 1894. He was the Prime Minister of England. And he had to announce the death of Princess Alice to the House of Commons. And he tells this touching story. The little daughter of the princess was seriously ill with diphtheria. The doctors told the princess not to kiss her little daughter or endangering her life by breathing the child's breath. Once when the child was struggling to breathe, the mother, forgetting herself entirely, took the little ones in her arms to keep her from choking. Grasping and struggling for life, the child said, "Mama, kiss me." Without thinking of herself, the mother tenderly kissed the daughter. She got diphtheria, and some days thereafter, she went on to forever to be with the Lord. Real love forgets itself. Real love knows no danger. Real love doesn't count the cost. The Bible says many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. God's love. God's love. In our moment of complete despair, on the verge of destruction, and I do not use that lightly, I mean the edge of destruction. You've been there once. I know it. I know it is. I know that you've stood there, and I guarantee that many of you in this room have, or you will. We will fall. Our death is assured. Our loss is complete. But for the saving grace from the very breath of God. That's it. God's unfailing love. Through Jesus Christ our Savior, we will not fall. Without Him, we will. God loves you the way you are, but He will change you for the better if you let Him. But yet He stops us at that moment. He changes our direction. He makes us better, and it's with Him we live. At that edge, if you've caught it. I think about it every single day, who I was. I think about it every day. Some days I'm ashamed. Some days I'm downright angry. Some days I'm sad. I have friends that look at me and say they don't know how to talk to me anymore because you're not that way and you're not the person you once were. I'm still a very rough person. I always like to refer to myself as one seriously rough cut piece of iron. That's okay. We all are. I didn't write this sermon for anybody to stand up and look at me in sympathy. I wrote this sermon because of something on my heart that told me to tell you that God loves you who you are, but you will be better if you let Him. Don't pay attention to me. I'm doing okay. I am happy with where I was, but now I am fully aware of where I am now, and I could not be happier. I do, of course, know that my way is being lit by a constant focus on Jesus Christ, as will yours if you want. You know, when we leave here today, it starts all over again. Every Sunday, walk out that door, the world is waiting. I often think it looks like, you know, archers and guns and everything pointed at the door when I walk out. Just waiting to get you. The world waits. It seeks to kill us. I'm forever in need of God through prayer to fulfill that change in me. We need to be ready to accept it. His want is to change us for the better, to be more like His Son. But we have to want it. I want us to be aware of contemplating the meaning of God's love. And very simply, it all starts with, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us for who we are, but He will change us for the better if we let Him. I ask you today, if you can, to kneel down in the seat where you're at. If you're physically able, kneel down with me as I pray. Heavenly Father, we call for a change to each and every life that is in this room. We ask You to change us for the better. We want it. We are humble that You take us for what we are, the way we are, and seek to make us more like Your Son. Father, it is with great relief and great joy that we have You to turn to, that we have the death of Your Son as the ultimate gift of salvation. We pray for that change, Father. We pray for that moment. We pray that You see us for who we really are. And as Paul writes, that day that we come face to face with ourselves at the day of judgment, we're not found wanting anymore. We're found going forward joyfully, leaving that which was us behind, changed forever for the better by Your Son Jesus and His precious love. Change us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Leon finished that day, I came forward. This time I meant business. I came forward up to the front and I got down on my knees. And I know what I felt when I got there. And so that's why every Sunday I look at you and I beg you, if it's wrong, come up here and let's try to make it right. Come up here and let's pray before you leave and get taken over again. As we sing this last hymn, if you've gotten a little lost, if you need that change, if you're looking for that extra prayer, please come forward. It'll be a blessing.
Please stand and turn to page 657. Thank you.
Thou wilt supply our need. For blessings now, O Lord, are humbly.
And now may the blessings of heaven rest upon you as you go from here. God loves you the way you are, and He will make you better if you let Him. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, may your path walk straight and righteous through the week, bringing us together here today. In Jesus' precious name, amen.